Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Hey, I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. Gentman Jenkins, I finally figured out what his handle is on X, formerly known as Twitter. And the Tigers have become like an amazing story. And it's, I get asked, why is this happening and all that? Evan, I have no answer for that. How could somebody have an answer for that? And anybody who said, I believed in this team after the trade deadline, you're a bald-faced liar. There wasn't a single person that believed that. And the Tigers didn't believe it. Don't go around saying that. They wouldn't have been sellers at the trade deadline if that were the case.
I completely agree with you, Pat. It's like everything that they thought could happen at the start of the year, for some reason, all the stars finally aligned. I mean, they got all their players back healthy. Luckily, I mean, it's almost like a Max Scherzer-esque, like, send down for Parker Meadows. He comes back, and he can now hit the baseball. Like, everything.
Evan, since Parker Meadows has come back, all right, there were 3 games before he went on to DL. They won all 3 of them, and he had hits in all his games. And then he came back from the IL. And since he's been back from the minor leagues, they're 28-11. 28-11. So you try to figure that. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete, and at least that's a tangible thing because he's so fast. Look at the play he made last night. Just an incredible play in center field, and he does have ability to hit. All right, that's a tangible thing. Cole Keith emerging is tangible. Kerry Carpenter coming back, and he immediately hit some bombs, and that changed the whole complexion of the team. Riley Green, Scuba, those are all tangible things. But what about Keiter Montero?
It's wild because when you almost got to kind of compare them to like Reese Olson last year, where their numbers in the minor leagues weren't exactly all that impressive. You look at it and you're like, well, why are they calling this guy up? And then you see him perform in the major leagues. In Montero, even when he first started with the Tigers, he wasn't lighting the world on fire. But now it's like he's a modern-day Greg Maddux throwing complete games under 100 pitches.
No, I mean, he had 27 batters face that one game. Then he's dealing the next. We're talking about a pitcher who was in their organization 7 years, had an ERA over 5. And it was over 5 at Toledo this year. It was over, and it's still 4-6-0 for the Tigers. But lately, like you said, hey, man, he's like Greg Maddux.
And it's insane.
My favorite one is the Sean Gunther guy. Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, even for baseball freaks like me, he's way down on the list of players that you would even have enter your mind. He had a 7-something ERA with, I might have even been 9, I don't know, when he was with the Marlins a few years ago. He's been pretty good in the minor leagues. And then you look at Baseball Savant, his average fastball's barely 90 miles an hour. It's in the bottom 6th percentile. And he comes up to the Tigers. He's like 28 or something. Yeah, 28. He comes up, maybe 29. And he has 12 outings. His whip is below 1. His ERA is 1.29. Look at Brennan Hanafy. That's not a young dude that they developed or something. He was picked up from other organizations where he's lit up like a pinball machine. Again, older in the late 20s, and all of a sudden he gets out there and it's like, wow, look at this guy. Brant Herder?
I mean, even go look at the production that they've gotten out of Bo Brisky, who, let's say it, he was an average pitcher to start the year, and now you got him.
He didn't even make the team.
He's spotting 100-mile-an-hour fastballs on the corner, and you're like, where was this guy all year?
He had Bobby Witt Jr. last night talking to himself and the umpire. I mean, the pitches that he threw, he struck out Witt, Perez, and Massey in a key situation on a back-to-back appearance thing.
It's absolutely absurd, but I mean, you know,
Evan, I'll ask you a question. Do you have any idea where he went to college and where he was drafted?
Bo Brisky. I'm going to guess he was drafted 18th round and he went to the University of Buffalo.
Well, close. He was drafted in the 29th round and there's only 20 rounds of the draft now. Out of the University of Colorado, Pueblo.
Well, they got a good baseball program.
University of Colorado, Pueblo. All right? He's had a good arm, and he's had some success. He's not like these other pitchers that are doing this. But, you know, come on. Now all of a sudden it's like he hit 100 on the gun. And then the pitches he threw yesterday, I mean, Salvador Perez was like, hey, I can't do anything with that pitch. And he's looking out at the mound like, what is this?
And one of, the greatest hitting catchers of our lifetime. And it's like, Pat, it's almost like just everything clicked all at once for everybody. And it was like a perfect situation. The only
Hey, I'm not done yet, buddy. What about Brant Herder?
I don't know.
All right. Brant Herder was from Georgia Tech. He's a big, tall lefty. You know, you've seen him pitch. Brant Herder had a minor league, a college career that was pretty mediocre. His ERA was over 5 at Toledo. He wasn't somebody that was on anybody's big-time radar. Maybe he was going to pitch in the major leagues at some point, but not like this. I mean, every time they put him out there as a bulk guy, he gives them a great performance, like they're getting a great start from somebody. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he wasn't on anybody's prospect list. If they were, they would have been. It would have been like at number 30 or something. It doesn't make sense. I know he's got a big sweeper and everything, but all of a sudden he's like unhittable.
Well, how many people outside of Detroit coming into this year would have considered, even though his numbers were very good, Tyler Holton, one of the best relievers, if not the best reliever in all of baseball, to come in and
well,
do what
he's done. He proved that last year.
I'm saying it might have been a flash in the pan, but no. He came in this year and he was like, let me show you. I'm going to continue exactly where I left off.
You know what his ERA was when they called him up from Toledo?
I'm going to guess 6 something.
7.
Something. See what I'm saying?
Last year.
Insane. And then he comes up to the major leagues. And I guess maybe the minor leagues are just working on stuff, Pat, and they're not necessarily looking for great numbers. I don't know.
Hey, no, I'm not done yet. Ty Madden.
Well, we've documented him quite a bit that he wasn't lighting up minor leagues.
Everything we've said about Ty Madden this year has been like, oh, man, he can't do this, he can't do that. He was a prolific college pitcher, first-round pick. And look, the guy's got a great arm and everything, but he's all over the place. He was either truly great in his outings, or like 1 out of 5, and then the other 4 were disasters. His ERA was 8.32 at Toledo. And he hadn't shown that much improvement. His recent start still had his ERA over 5. But now he's throwing a split-finger pitch, and he comes up here, and it's like, that's the Ty Madden we've been expecting since we've been talking about him on this podcast for a long time. But to all of a sudden be thrust into a pennant race and pitch like that? Come on, man. You can't call any of this stuff. And I don't know. You can stop me now, I guess. It is the pitching staff. All right, Parker Meadows is giving him a lift, Carpenter, all that stuff. And Trey Sweeney has played well at shortstop, improved what was a weak position. But Dylan Dingler, he can't get a hit. Jace Young hopes for a walk. You know, so it isn't all the call-ups have been successful. Torque has been torque. But that bullpen is just absolutely incredible, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, so that's why the Tigers are winning. Now, is this Chris Vetter? Is this, you know, plus Robin Lund is underrated in what he does with that staff. And Nieves, they have three pitching coaches, in essentially. Is it analytics? I think it's a big part of it because they put these guys in positions where they can have success. That is analytics, a big part about game preparation. And Hinch knows how to use those numbers, evidently. Because he's been, all of a sudden, he's gone from like he was clueless throughout much of the summer. Now everything he does turns to gold. Hey, man, I'm going to put Winsell Perez in there and he's going to hit a double. You know?
It's absolutely insane. It's almost like a video game that you turn down the difficulty level so you can go in there and do everything that you need to do. And I mean, even Cole Keith at like second base seemingly has been playing a lot better. Like,
how about that one play he made? It was diving play and then the double play with him and Zach McKinstry with the throw there. That was a fine throw. I mean, it's like,
that's what I'm saying. It's anything that you criticize this team about at any point, they've gone and done the exact opposite, which, you know, for Tiger fans is very, very encouraging. And I guess my question to you, Pat, is, let's say they maintain this and they still fall short of the playoffs. Do you think that there's a possibility that this can carry over then until next year? The reason I'm asking that question, over the last couple seasons, they've had very nice ends to the season, but then for whatever reason, those few months off between October and February, everything falls apart, and then they start the year, and we get what we got this year and last year and the year before. And so do you think that this can all carry over?
It's a dangerous proposition. And first of all, this is far, far different than 2021 or 2023 because they're actually in the race.
Right.
I mean, they're very much in the race. Fangraphs has it up to 20%. And that's a mathematical formula. But if they win a few games, get it within one, their chances really go up. And Minnesota isn't playing well. Heck, Kansas City, they could be threatening them some. Depends. We're doing this before the final game of that series. But I'll say this. You can't lean too much on that. What happened in 2021, for example, they thought Eric Haas was going to be a great catcher or a really good one. He hit all those home runs. They thought Candelario was their third baseman for years. They thought Akil Baddoo coming as a Rule 5 draft, never playing behind A ball, higher than A ball and doing what he did, which was very impressive at the time. A lot of difference. Robbie Grossman and some of those players that did well on that team. And then they went out and spent money, you know, unwisely, which put them in a hole again with the horrible contracts to Javi Baez. And some of these guys that, you know, you're not going to be necessarily depending on Hanifee next year or Sean Gunther or some of these other guys that Brian Sammons actually gave him some pretty good outings. I didn't even get in. He was an independent ball a couple years ago. You're not going to be depending on them. And if you're expecting them to be this next year, you might be looking at some fool's gold. But they did make progress. Cole Keith is a major league hitter without question, and he's gotten better at second base. I think they're fine there. And but, you know, they need Dingler to be a hitter so he can join Rogers. They have to make a huge decision on Torque. They got to get a third baseman. That's a hole. Are they going to depend on Sweeney to be their shortstop, at least against right-handed pitching all the time? Those are questions. The one thing that is set, that outfield is really good, and they're going to have a good DH if Carpenter is doing that, and you know, Verlaine gives them versatility and Winsell Perez. So that's something that's been settled. Obviously, you've got an ace in Skubal. Reese Olson's pretty good. You know, what are they going to get with Casey Mize next year? I don't think his career is over.
I think he's somebody that bounce back year for him would be something that probably will happen after Tommy John. But do you want to keep him, pay him, you know, now that he's arbitration eligible and all that, or do you want to move on from him? They've got to add, I think, but they got to do it wisely. It can't be stupid contracts, because that can come back and that can take all the progress that you made and just, you know, rub your nose in it. But the good news is Jackson Jobe will pitch for them next year, and he's really, really good. And obviously, and some of these other guys that they drafted, high school kids, will start pushing on the major leagues next year. You know, Max Clark will probably move pretty quickly after he got a full season in, and he's got good bat-to-ball skills, and he's already a major league player when it comes down to defense and base running, those type of things. I mean, a plus major league player that way. And you'll see somebody like McGonagall maybe start to hit. They might get something. They got to make a decision on that kid, Lorenzo, because when he gets the axe in his hand, the guy they got from the Flaherty deal, Tyrone Lorenzo, he gets that axe in his hand, man. It's impressive. But is he a catcher? He's bad behind the plate. So that's maybe you try to move him to first base or something along those lines. He's a switch hitter. So can you imagine having a switch hitting first baseman who can really hit and play okay defense? That would be a big plus. And he'll move relatively quickly, I think. All those guys, you know, but a lot of them are 2025 type of pushing the majors. So next year, it's about getting pieces for a year, doing better than getting the Cannas, doing better than getting the Gio Urshelas, you know, those type of things. Getting another starting pitcher, because there's a lot of them available. And they have to think about signing somebody like Bregman. And they have to think about signing somebody like Willie Adames. Mm-hmm. You know, spending some money. Are those two players? And they got to be right on their evaluation if they were to do that. That could be a disaster. Bregman's still pretty good, but there's some signs he's slowed down. And Willie Adames is having a career year, really. And he's hitting free agency market and obviously plays a premier position. So those would be the two guys, the position players, that they were going to spend money. They got to figure it out. And people are like, hey, you got to go do it. You got to go do it. No, you got to do it if it's right. You know, if you make mistakes on that, it kills you. Yeah. So you can't have one of these assets. And those guys, they won't get the asinine Matt Chapman, Javi Baez contract. People who think that Matt Chapman was going to sign that same contract with the Tigers, you're full of it, man. You're full of shit. I can say that on this podcast, can I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. You're full of shit. Okay? Quit being full of shit. But, you know, Adames could really be a difference maker. He's still younger. And how much does Bregman have in the tank, and how much is he going to want?
Yeah.
You know, and is he going to want one of those opt-out contracts? So, you know, you don't want to do that. But they're in a position now, and they've got money to spend. You know, I don't know. The attendance it will likely go up. They'll sell more season tickets. They'll sell more merchandise. Revenue, which has been a real problem for them, simply by winning, will go up. But you don't want to be stupid about it, which – frankly, they were after 2021.
Yeah, do you think they end up buying out Javi Baez? Is there any way he takes the field for the Tigers next year?
No.
I don't think so either.
What do you mean, take the field for the Tigers or buy him
out? Yeah, just, well, I don't think he'll, meaning if they buy him out, he's not taking the field. I just don't see him in a Tiger uniform next year.
You know, you're right, you know, and, you know, but, you know, I can see a scenario like, well, he had hip surgery. He was bothered by his hip. Javi has been working his tail off, which he will do. And I could see them trying him.
Okay.
Again. All right. See whether he can play again. Because they don't have somebody that he's really blocking. But particularly with Sweeney is
you know, he's gotten some hits off lefties, but his splits in the minor leagues are definitely related to he hits right-handers a lot better. So they might do something like that. The problem is that when you carry a guy like that, it hinders your roster because he's not going to play third or second or go into the outfield for you. But, you know, that's a lot of money. He, at one point, was a premier player. He can still play shortstop well defensively. So what they might do is do that. But I agree with you. I've been talking about this since May. It's like, hey, yeah, man, cut your losses, move on. And I've defended, or kind of when I get calls from people, the first thing they've been saying a lot of times now that the Tigers are winning, I told you when Javi was out of there, look, the guy had an injury. You know, I mean, look at the things that have gone on well for the Tigers, which we've talked about a lot today, and not so much, hey, Javi Baez is gone and, you know, dancing on his baseball grave. But they need to move on from that.
Yeah, but I mean, he had even played a little bit better. I mean, that's not saying much before he had gotten hurt. So it is what it is. But I mean, Pat, I'm happy to just be in this position right now and to see that these young guys, and we talked about it on the last podcast, the quote unquote core are performing for the Tigers.
Yeah, it's been an amazing story, and hopefully you got a little bit more today on a little bit of the background of their pitchers. And when you look at that, it's an even more amazing story. Hey, appreciate you listening. Don't forget to like us on the Apple iTunes Store and subscribe to us at the Apple iTunes Store and, of course, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. I post these podcasts up on my Twitter account, PatCaputo98, regularly. I write columns for Odyssey.com. I put those up regularly. Of course, Evan does on Gentman Jenkins. At Gentman Jenkins, I finally figured it out. And I always appreciate Evan. You do a great job. And till next time, we'll see you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.